Okay, First Peter chapter 5. Yeah, it's been a 2-3 weeks since we've been in Peter on Wednesday night, so we're in verse 5 tonight. Are you there? First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Last time we talked here, we were in verse 1. It was about the elders, the older people. Now, the younger. Are you ready to get preached to tonight, if you're younger? Huh? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. There you go. Now that's the Word of God. Remember that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the songs, and we pray you'd bless your Word now. Help us to get through it. Help us to be obedient to your leading. Help us, Lord, to say the right things. Help it to be clear. Help it to be from Thee. And I pray your Spirit would confirm it to every heart here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now those, can I turn that thing off? Because it's really going to... That's really a nuisance. Alright. Now then, the people who are being talked to here are called the younger. Now you're familiar with English, ain't you? I mean, it's not the youngest, it's the younger. A 90-year-old is younger than a 100-year-old. Mm-hmm. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. This is not teenagers, this is not children, this is everybody. This applies. These are the laws of order that God has laid down for us, is the people that He created. If we're going to live together, I mean, this is part of the moral law of God. The moral law, which governs how we live together and treat one another and God here on earth. It's the moral law is what governs and controls and opposes our selfishness and pride. Yeah. And this is part of the moral law of God. The Bible's saying here that age is seniority. Do you understand that? I say it real plain, real confidently. That's the way the Bible presents it. It is the gauge. I mean, it's the gauge that God set for establishing order in our society, among ourselves, in our interactions with each other. We all know that age is seniority. We understand that that is undeniably true. The children understand it from the time they're big enough to even know they're in this world. They understand that age is seniority in everything. Yes, it is. That's the way God set it up. That's the way God commands that it be. That's what God commands that we submit to. And recognize and put ourselves subject to. More years lived means more experience. And that should mean more knowledge and more judgment. Jesus expressed the same idea in Luke chapter 22 and verse 26. But ye shall not be so. They were arguing about who's, you know, the verse before that is talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. Do you see what he's saying? Do you understand what he's saying? He is taking for granted. He is assuming that everybody understands that the younger is subject to the older. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to be low. Like the younger, he said. Not like the... You know, be like the younger. Be like the one that serves. That's how you're great in the kingdom of heaven. Y'all understanding? It's the thing commanded here. It's about a right attitude toward those who are older than ourselves. It's to make us mindful of our inferior position. Do you understand that? See, the devil has done two things to destroy our world and our society, to destroy humanity. There's two big pillars that God set up for the order of our society. That's one of them. The younger, be subject to the older. Age is seniority. Age is authority. And the other is male and female. When he knocks those two pillars out from under everything, everything falls. Our society becomes what it is right now. There's no respect for authority. There's no regard for any kind of order. And he did it by making the women dissatisfied. He did it by making the young people dissatisfied. He does it. He did that just like he's doing right now with all this hullabaloo over the police. You know, everybody's against the police. Nobody has any regard for the police because they've come up with some injustices, supposed injustices. Well, sure, this world is a wicked world. There's always going to be injustices. Haven't I told you children all your lives that you just well to get ready for the world? It's an unfair place. Don't you expect the world to treat you fairly because they're wicked and it's unjust. So, but see, that's how Absalom took over the kingdom, by exaggerating the injustices and dwelling on them and embellishing them to people. So that's how the devil has caused this rebellious generation among the young people, where there's no respect, no regard, no reverence for the elder. The younger thinks they're smarter. They think they are more intelligent, more experienced, more wise. They have no respect. It's more than not having any respect. They have disrespect and contempt for the older. They have contempt for authority. Don't you see how ungodly that is when the Bible is so plain about it? Do you understand that? That this is the order of that God has set. And male and female is part of it. But this is God's way. You know, people hear this and everybody's so brainwashed by this world and so full of this world's philosophy that when they hear somebody talking about this and saying these things, they think that I'm the crazy one. But I got news for you. This is the Word of God. And it was around a long time before there was any women's liberation, before there was ever any generation gap or hippies or whatever this generation wants to call itself. The Bible's been around, the Word of God's been around a lot longer than that. And it'll be around long after all this bunch of rebels have been burning in hell for 1,000 years, too. This is God's way. The younger are to submit themselves to the older. And it's about our attitude of our heart. It's not a list of commandments. It's about a heart's attitude. God makes age a measure of superiority. Nobody likes that. See, that's almost an obscenity in our day. All men are created equal. Don't the Bible say that? No, the Bible don't say that. All men are not created equal. That's the biggest lie that's ever been told. And everybody knows that it's a lie. Men are not created equal. Men are not equal. They're equal. Their souls of equal value to God. Oh, yeah. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. But all men are not equal. There's elder. There's younger. There's male. There's female. There's kings and rulers and there's servants. Men are not equal. There's smart men and dumb men. That's right. We're not all the same. We do not have all the same station in life. We do not all have the same. We are superior and inferior. I mean, you might as well accept those words because they are real. They are a fact of life. It works in everything we do. Every other aspect of life, we judge by superior and inferior. When you go to buy something, you're going to buy the superior one. You ain't going to buy the inferior one unless you're dumb or deceived. Or so tight that you'd rather suffer that way than to, yeah. Now, it means that it's the means, age is, that God has appointed for order in the church, in the family, as well as in our social interaction with other people. Y'all ought to respect your elders. When you're talking to somebody that's older than you, you ought to show respect. It's your duty before God. God has commanded you to do that and to be that. And not just to do it as a act, but it's to be the attitude of your heart. You're to look at older people with respect from your heart, realizing you are the inferior. That's what this is saying. Study it out. I dare you. Get your Bible. Get the computer. Get your dictionary. And study it out, you young people. And you'll find out that I'm telling you exactly the truth here. Now, likewise, you younger, it says, submit yourselves unto the elder. That means to give due respect and reverence. Yeah, reverence. Not as God, but reverence means to hold in high esteem. Let you wives see, let the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now the Bible says that. Oh, you believe the Bible, do you? Well, then what you do tells whether you really believe the Bible or not. A wife should respect her husband. She should reverence her husband. She should hold him in high esteem. If you can't do that, you better not marry the guy. You better find you a husband that you do highly esteem and that you can reverence. Or you better not marry him because you can't obey God. You're going to mess up your life. But the younger are to give reverence to the older people. Respect and reverence. You know, it's funny to me how Asian people, that's a deeply ingrained thing in their society. They're so ungodly. They're so far. They're Buddhists and Hindus and all that over there. And they got... But they got this. It's a big deal in their society still to revere the older people. This is a godly thing. It's a thing that is part of God's order, just like male and female. It means to yield to their admonitions and reproofs and authority. That's the way you're to look at them. Y'all children listening to this. Y'all young people listening to this. All of us. It means to subordinate ourselves to them. To put ourselves under their authority and superior position. To show respect and honor. Now, like it or not, you can argue with it or not, you can rationalize about it all you want to, you can come up with all kinds of examples of old people that don't deserve it and all this kind of junk, but you ain't nowhere near right with God, thinking that way. You ain't getting that from God, you're getting it straight from the devil himself and out of your own wicked heart. That is not justifiable under any circumstances, no way. This is God's order. This is the way it's supposed to be. It's what you're supposed to be. You're going to give account to God. You're going to answer to God if you're not. Now, to show respect and honor, God has placed the older in a higher position of authority over the younger. It's right here. The first two verses of this chapter, we've read it. The elders, the younger. He divided them into two classes of people. And there's order all the way down. It's not distinctly two classes of people. younger, elder. It's not superlative, it's comparative. Yeah. It's wrong to violate this precept of God. And it's as wrong to violate it as it is any other moral law of God. Are you listening to me? To treat with disrespect or to fail to acknowledge their superior position in God's order is a sin in God's sight. It's a sin. Just like lying's a sin. Just like stealing is a sin. Just like fornication is a sin. Those are moral laws of God. This is a moral law of God. One of the pillars that underlie it all. It all stands on these things. This being one of them that we're talking about here tonight. It's the best way for everything to work properly when the younger submit to the older. The older have been down the road. They've got more years. If you've got more of anything of value, then you're in a better position to help somebody else. Whether it's money, whether it's property, whether it's wisdom and knowledge, whether it's experience. The person with the more years has more to give. That's right. Yes, sir. And so it's the best thing, best way for things to work properly. The young people, if they'll submit, if they will accept rebuke, reproof, admonition, then they will avoid a lot of trouble and mistake and a lot of stalled out periods in their lives where they're losing ground and losing. It'll work better. They'll gain quicker. They'll come out better if they'll listen to wise counsel. If they take counsel from their peers, they'll be like Rehoboam. See? You know, there's you a good example. Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Solomon died. He's the king. All Israel is at his beck now. And he has a choice. I mean, they've been burdened with Solomon's taxed them to death. And they've been burdened about him. And so the older men, the Bible tells us, told him to cut them some slack. Be good to them, and they'll do whatever you want. They'll submit themselves to you. His peers said, tell them that if they think your dad was bad, wait till they see what you're going to do to them. What happened to Rehoboam? He lost the kingdom. Listening to foolish advice from young people. Instead of taking the advice of older people who had some sense, who had lived long enough to see how people react to things, these young people didn't have any sense, did they? They had no wisdom. All they had was zeal. All they had was, I'll show you, and all, you know, the zeal and the arrogancy and pride of youth. Well, it cost all of them. It always does. It's the best way to keep things working, to keep society in order. It's the best way to preserve peace and prosperity. Wise men, older men, older folks are going to be, they're not going to be near as quick to go to war, to start a fight. They've lived long enough to see how it turns out. The cost of it, the results of it, the consequences. So they want to avoid it. They've found there's better ways to deal with problems, and we won't do it until it's the absolute last resort. Younger people will do it the first. They'll take it as the first option, not the last. The best way to keep peace in a family, in a church, in a nation, in a society, is for the younger to submit to the older. Older people are going to do a better job of managing things, of keeping the peace, of dealing with problems. Oh yes, they will. When you're younger, you don't deal with problems very wisely most of the time. You just don't. I didn't. Neither did any of these older folks sitting here. And you ain't either, if you're young. And someday when you're old, you'll realize it too. It's the best way to maintain a moral society and promote righteousness to the following generations. Think back. You know, I can point out a lot of things to you here. But did you know that, like in Granny's generation, there wasn't young people's music and old people's music. There was no separation of that kind of stuff. I mean, and go on back, on back, on back. Our nation, when it was great, there was no generation gap. The young people liked the same stuff the older people did. There was no need for this separation. No need for this shame to be identified with the old people. No need to feel like you had to have something different because you're young. It ain't. There was no cool and uncool. There wasn't no such a thing as old-fashioned. We were one society. The older ruled. They made the laws. They were the judges. They were the senators and all of that. Generally, yeah. Elders. I've seen this last election. They put in some of the youngest representatives ever been in the Congress. 30 years old, I think, one of them was. That's what we need. Everybody rejoices. That's what we need. Young. Oh, no, it's not. No. That is not what we need. It's ungodly. It's wrong. It's against God's order. It will not work. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Now, he's talking to the younger and he says, all of you. Now, I looked that out and studied that out. That's what he's saying. All of you that are younger, all of you, all of us are supposed to be subject one to another. That word subject is exactly the same word that's in the previous phrase there, sentence. It says submit. Younger, submit to the older. This is be subject. It's the same word. Means the exact same thing. The younger are supposed to submit, put themselves under, subordinate themselves. Be in subjection to the older. And then we all are supposed to do that with each other. And be clothed with humility. Do you get the idea? Mm-hmm. Do you get it? We're not supposed to be the know-it-all. We're not supposed to be the boss. We're not supposed to be the self-assertive one. The one that has our way. We're to give place to others. We're to let each one esteem other better than himself. That's what the Bible says. That's the attitude of our heart. This is all about an attitude of our heart. A concept, our perception, our view of how it's supposed to be. Who we are and who everybody else is. The ungodly, the selfish, the sinful way is for you to think you're the center of the universe. And the sun rises and sets on you. And the moon and the stars revolve around you. And the world's here to serve you. That's the selfish, ungodly way. It's to think that I know better than everybody else. And ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And I know what I want. And I know what I think. And I know what I believe. That's ungodly. It's wrong. It's the wrong attitude from top to bottom. It'll never get you nowhere but in hell. And your life destroyed here on earth. And everybody you touch troubled and messed up because of you and your attitude. The idea here is to have an attitude of humility about ourselves and an attitude of honor toward others. Be all of you, be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. Well, that means, humility means freedom from pride and arrogance. Are you free from pride and arrogance tonight? Humbleness of mind. That means not thinking you know everything. Not thinking that everybody needs to listen to you. Humbleness of mind. About everything. Having a modest estimate of one's own worth. If you ever hear the saying, well, I wish I could buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've known a lot of people like that. Make some money. To be clothed with humility means that it should be the outstanding thing about us and the first thing that people see when they come in contact with us. What do you ladies notice and you girls, what do you notice about somebody when you first see them? Huh? Well, you notice their clothes, you women do. You notice the colors and the style and all of that, and your clothes say it for you. There was a book one time by that title. There's a lot of things you say with your clothes. And I don't want to get into that, but it says be clothed with humility. Covered with it. I mean, it ought to cover everything about us. It should cover anything that is wrong with us. It ought to be the thing that stands out about us. It ought to cover everything about us. Humility is opposed to pride and arrogance and selfishness. And those are the only alternatives to humility. Either we're humble or we're proud. Either or. If you're not humble, you're proud. If you can't respect other people, and if you can't honor other people, you're proud. Ain't no other explanation for it. That's the explanation God gives for it. When we refuse to respect and honor and reverence those who were commanded by God to reverence and honor, it's because we're proud. And we're rebellious. We're arrogant. We think way more of ourselves than we ought to. We're not humble. Humble is a modest estimate of yourself. If we could only see ourselves like other people see us. Ain't that something? We got mirrors, but we'll stand there in the mirror and lie to ourselves. We'll listen to our own voice and lie to ourselves. We just are a very poor judge of ourselves. That's all. That's all there is to it. Humility is the best way to preserve peace in the church and in the home and in society, because it promotes it. How can you fight with somebody who's humble? You just can't, can you? Pride is the primary thing that disturbs the peace and brings trouble. It is, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. There wouldn't be any fights. There wouldn't be any quarrels. There wouldn't be any arguments between you children, between adults, between anybody, if it wasn't for pride. Pride causes it every time. It's only by pride cometh contention. Only because selfish interests are involved. That's the only reason there's trouble. Contention. So being humble makes for peace. Being humble and having a realistic, godly attitude about our position in society, that'll make it easy to submit and obey those whom God commands us to honor and obey. I mean, realize who you are, where you are in life, what your position is in life right now. If you're elder, you're elder. If you're younger, you're younger. Man, just accept the fact I'm younger. That's where I am right now. You're not always going to be there. Youth don't last very long. You better enjoy it and make the best of it while you can. You're farming your future while you're in your youth. You better do a good job. You better obey God. You better sow the right seeds. You better do the right kind of plowing and watering and sowing. Because you ain't got long. I mean, tough it out. You don't like it, you ain't gonna be there too long. It'll be over before you know it. Now, I got tired of being young. I did. I don't mind being older because I got tired of being young. You tired of being young? Hang on. Now, true humility will make it easy to submit and obey. You hear me? It will. But not only that, I mean, it'll make it a pleasant thing. Not just easy and, what's the word I'm looking for? Tolerable. It's more than just tolerating it. It's more than just struggling through it. It'll make it a pleasant thing. Do you know there is joy in obeying God and being a godly person, doing things God's way? You'll find that by honoring and reverencing the people that are older than you, giving place to them, listening to them, honoring them. I mean, if you'll quit being rebellious, and if you'll quit being arrogant and proud, and you'll quit exalting yourself or trying to, and start doing it God's way, you'll find that, man, life is going to be, it'll give you joy. And it's a pleasant thing. It's not an oppressive thing. It doesn't put you down. Humility doesn't put you down. It exalts you. Yeah. If we rebel and refuse to conform to God's commandments in this matter, we'll find ourselves in trouble with God. Because the next little phrase there is, God resisteth the proud. I've mentioned this before, but that's a powerful little statement there. God will set Himself against a proud person to oppose and to crush him. God hates pride. These six things, yea, seven doth God hates, what are they? That proud walk, it's right there, that proud look. Pride is one of the first things that God hates. And He don't just ignore it. He don't just hold His blessings from it. He turns on it and resists it. He puts it down. He brings it down. God knows how to humble the proud. Yes, He does. Pride goeth before, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's God's law. That's the way it is. God makes sure of it. God will resist you. Now, if you don't honor those to whom your honors due, who you're commanded to honor, if you won't submit, why do you not do it? What did we just say? There's only one reason you won't do it. Pride. So if you don't do it, God is setting Himself against you. Now, do you think you're going to prosper? Do you think your life's going to turn out well? Do you think you're going to marry right? You're going to have children and they turn out right? You think anything's going to go well for you in your life when God is resisting you? Do you? Oh, no. Absolutely not. God doesn't just ignore or withhold blessings. He resists him. He aggressively fights against him to bring him down. But then it says, He giveth grace to the humble. Bible said in Proverbs 15:33, also says it in Proverbs 18:12, but there's this little statement. It says, before honor is humility. Before the crown, there's a cross. That's the order of God. The way up is down. Jesus said, you want to be great? The greatest in the kingdom is going to be the servant. He says it's not that way in the world. I mean, they that are great exercise authority over everybody else. I mean, they exalt themselves and by power and force and pride they conquer. But it's not that way in God's kingdom, in God's order, in the ways of God. It's not that way. Here's the way it works in God's economy. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. That's the next verse. Right after this one. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, or the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. James chapter 4, verse 10. Bible's full of that kind of talk. Before honor is humility. I mean, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. If you exalt yourself, you will be abased, the Bible says. But if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. That's the way life works. Whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, that is the way it works. When you are humble, Jesus Himself, He humbled Himself and became a man. He bore the cross. He humbled Himself even to death. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted Him. Because He humbled Himself. It couldn't have been any other way because that's the way of God. Jesus wasn't going to come to this earth and defy all the order of God that's through the Word of God. This is God's way. These are the things that the world of Noah was destroyed for. The Bible says that in Noah's day they had corrupted God's way in all the earth. All flesh had corrupted His way. They wouldn't do it His way. Just like it is in our day, see? The devil does with all of us just what you see happening in our society. You know, we've got a president and we've got a government here and a bunch of judges and an attorney general and all that. And all they're about is dividing us and making us hate one another by defying all of this. There's an order. And in society. And it doesn't matter what, I mean, if somebody comes to you and they're proud and cocky, you ain't going to like them. And it's going to be the desire of your soul to put them down. If somebody comes to you humble and meek, you're going to like them. And you're going to want to treat them well. That's just the way we're wired. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. God is the same way. Some proud little piece of flesh exalt himself for God and shake it. God just...
Yeah, it's true.
Somebody that's humble and puts themselves low, has a real honest opinion. I'm a worm, said the psalmist. God wrote it down forever. God's a broken and a contrite heart, God, oh Lord, Thou will not despise. He's near to that kind of a person. He's near to the lowly. He's chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. That's why God is close to people like that. Humble. Humility. Real humility. When you're brought down, when you're diminished of everything. When you've just had everything subtracted from you, you're humbled. That's what happens to people in prison. They go in proud and fighting and arrogant and, you know, these, we've mentioned them several times, but here lately, you know, you see a lot of these that's been in prison for 25, 35 years and they were innocent. They were put in and they lost their life. They missed raising their family. They were treated real unfair. They were robbed of their life. And when they come out, I've not seen one yet that come out fighting bitter and saying, I'm going to get them. Not a one. After that long, they come out, that one woman, you know, she was innocent. They put her in jail for 35 years, I think. No, it wasn't that long. But it was long enough for her little children that were little. Now they're grown and got kids, and she never even got a raising. But when she come out, she was thanking God. I knew God would deliver me someday. Didn't have any bitterness. That's humility. That's what you see. You see the pride extracted, and you see real humility. And you see a person exalted. What does that do to you to see somebody like that? What does that do to you when you see that in somebody? I mean, you expect them. Boy, if that was me, I'd be mad. I'd go after them. They ain't doing it. Why? What does that do to you? Yes, and it inspires you. And it makes you ashamed of yourself for being so messed up and proud yourself. You realize they got something you ain't got. So humility, see, is the basic thing about all this here. We're to be humble. Have a humble attitude. Have real humility. And it makes it easy for us to submit to those who are older than us. It makes it easy for a wife to submit to a husband. It makes it easy for a husband to submit to Christ when he's humble. And when he does that and he's humble, that makes it easy for the wife to submit to a humble man. And when mom and dad's humble, it makes it easier for the children to submit to humble people. It's hard to submit to a proud person. Ain't it? If you're younger now, you will someday be the elder. Don't ever forget that. Someday, you're going to be the elder. Better let that soak in real good. You will reap what you sow. If you don't treat the older people right, like God says to, when you're young, what do you think is going to happen when you get old? I got some more to say about that. If you don't know your place now, you won't be fit for your place then. Y'all better listen. I'm about done. But this is real important. If you, when you're younger, won't abide in your place, then you ain't going to be fit for your place when you get older. Foolish old people are people who refuse to be wise young people. And they make it harder for young people to do right and to honor them when they're not worthy of honor. Now the way to be honored is to first honor those whom God has placed in a superior position over us while we're younger. Whether it's your parent, whether it's your pastor, whether it's your teacher, whether it's the policeman, whatever. We ought to honor the position they're in and recognize it's their superior position over us. If we want, you know, you see it in the kids. The older kids want the younger kids to submit to them. But does the older kid, are they humble and submissive to the ones over them? You know, a lot of times a husband wants his wife to submit to him, but is he submitted to God and does he have a humble attitude toward others? See? All of you be subject one to another. It ain't going to work otherwise. It's a chain. And it's all hooked together. Link, 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 link. And it's God's way. If everybody in the chain obeys God, it's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful family. It's a wonderful church. It's a wonderful nation when it's like that. That's righteousness. That's what it is. It's when people honor God and do things God's way. It works. And everybody's happy. There ain't no big ones and little ones. Everybody's humble and everybody cares for one another and everybody fulfills their God-ordained duty in the place that they're in their life. Before we had this verse, we had the verse about the elders, and they had responsibilities. And they had duties before God toward other people. Feed the flock. And don't be lords over them and this and that and the other. It's just, where are you in life? God will see to it that those who submit and obey in humility will be exalted and honored in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. We all have our place in whatever stage of life we're in. And we need to know our place and fulfill our duty to God. And be content where we are. You're on a journey, and you ain't going to stay in any place long. Don't you realize that? It's just one of the things. As you get older, you will realize it. You don't right now. If you're the younger you are, the less you realize the truth of what I'm talking about. If you're a kid, you think you're going to be a kid forever. This is me. This is my life. This is the way I am. This is the way the world is. I don't ever grow up. I'll never grow up. But you'll grow up, Maddie, before you know what's happened to you. Before everybody else knows what's happened. You just wake up and all of a sudden, you're not a kid anymore. You wake up and all of a sudden, you're the older people now. You're one of the older folks. The kids look at you and think you're old. When we're old, we have responsibilities to the younger that are coming behind us. And when we're young, we have responsibilities toward those who are older. That's just the way life is. Anybody who fails to know their duty and their place and fails to obey God breaks down God's order and sows confusion and despair among all that their life touches. It is just so true. I don't know how in the world that I could make it any more clear and real to you. That's just the way it is. If you just live life and do things God's way, I mean, that's the key to being happy and satisfied. It's the key to making life something worth living. It's the key to life. When you throw away the things of God's order, this is what God has designed and ordained to make life good for us. It's the way it's supposed to work. It makes us worth something. Older people are precious when they're right. Young people are precious when they're right. There ain't nothing more of a blessing than a young person who honors their elders and respects them and realizes that they're young and they haven't learned everything yet. But they're on their way and they know where to get it. Oh my, this is understanding, and it's true, and it's right. I can just see what the devil has done to us, what he's done to the world, what he's done to our society, what he's done to our families. What He's done to the church is what He's done. He's broken down this, and He's broken down the relations between the sexes. In every way possible, He's blurred it all up. He's made everybody unhappy, everybody dissatisfied. That's why you got transgenders and transsexuals and transvestites and homosexuals and gay marriage, and that's why you got all this. Nobody's happy. Yeah. Nobody wants to be that. They want to be that. They're not satisfied with anything. And then you got this, see. This is basic. Just as basic. This is just as basic as that is. Male and female. Just as basic. It's what God's built order on. Those two things. How we live together. How we relate to one another. All on those two things. I hope you understand that. Go on and think about that a while. Amen. Okay, let's bow. Father, thank You for Your Word. And I do thank You for the message. And I thank You for helping me with it. I pray it'd be a blessing and a help to other people. Lord, help us all. We need to fulfill our duty. We need to obey You and do what You say. We need to have an attitude in our heart that You're right. And that we don't know anything. We don't know much of anything. We think we know a little bit about this and that. And a lot of us think we know a lot about stuff. But we don't know anything, really, compared to what You know, what You are. And we're just a bunch of people that don't amount to much or nothing. Help us to realize that and realize what a mess we make whenever we try to exalt our little puny selves and think more of ourselves. And we try to exalt ourselves over each other like a bunch of chickens in a pen pecking around on each other. Help us, Lord, to live in Your image and not as an animal lives. Bless Your Word to our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.